Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. So we know we sit here every week from our big beauty thrones in the beauty world and the magazines, telling you all the tips, pretending like we have all the knowledge.
I'm holding a scepter.
You should be holding. We're queens of beauty. What, together, combined, I don't want to do too much math here, but I mean 30, 40 years of experience in the beauty industry.
Oh God, you combined it.
Yeah, it makes it sound really old.
I also hate when like legal firms do that. Like combined, like 8,000 years experience.
Combined.
What does that mean?
We are wizards of beauty, centuries old. Anyway, my point is, we're just not. We've been there like you guys. I feel like a lot of people come to Fat Mascara because they're new to beauty. They want to start doing self-care or learn about makeup, or they're beauty junkies and they love products, but they don't know what they want to use. And Jess and I wanted to use this special episode opportunity to share with you some of our early mistakes in beauty.
Some of mine are not that early. Some of them are quite recent.
In fact, we're calling this Biggest Beauty Regrets
Ever
with your co-hosts, Jen and Jess of Fat Mascara. So I cannot wait to hear yours, Jess.
We're going to go one for one.
Oh, you have multiple. Okay, let's get into
this. First of all, I want to thank everyone who shared their biggest beauty regrets on the Facebook page, because the hilarity ensued, okay? And okay. I was nodding along, like, on the couch, like, smoking. Not really, I don't smoke. It's just like a funny
beauty regret.
Yeah, and I don't smoke. Okay, so here we go. Self-tan. Wow.
Why am I laughing already? Okay, what happened?
All right. I hit the self-tan twice. Mm-hmm. Once in high school because I wanted to be tan like so many other girls. Most of the girls I felt like in my high school were very tan. I was pasty and pale and like, bleh. I won't say the name of the brand, but a very popular self-tanner. Like, this is when they just started coming out, you know?
Okay.
It was an oil. It was like nighttime. I had like a pool party or something.
Okay.
And I just put it all over. And then I had muddy, like weird ankles. And I just looked filthy. You'd think I learned my lesson. This wasn't for me. I went to a professional self-tanner 10 years later.
Okay.
The day I was leaving on a flight.
Okay.
Okay. This was not like Nicola Joss.
Yeah, UK celebrity facialist,
yes.
Support extraordinaire.
This was in the UK, but this was like some little side street place in Soho where it was like 35 pounds for my whole body.
Uh-huh.
They, you know,
got 35 pounds of money or 35 pounds of self-tanner?
35 pounds of money. Not a lot for this whole, like, a whole body tan.
Okay.
You know, like, they hit me with the airbrush and they're like, all right, you're right, love. Like, and, like, slapped me on the back and, like, sent me on my way.
Okay.
I literally got on a plane about 2 hours later. They didn't tell me that I couldn't go on a plane and I didn't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sat there, like, sweating, sleeping for, like, a seven-hour flight. Got off the plane and had a wedding the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I looked like a crumpled, like, brown paper bag. There were like lines and seams on everything.
We know how you feel about an airplane seatbelt as well. Oh, I'm yeah. sure that just sort of indented a whole crease
the whole
of
thing
orange.
Was disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Self-tanner's not for you.
No. So I know that I've never actually used self-tanner the right way, but I'm just done.
Okay. I'm just done because I've had like multiple people I've slept with. Now it just sounds like I'm being promiscuous, but people that sleep in the same bed as me, friends as well, be like, you smell like toast, like burnt toast. But that's yeah. not even correct. It's sort of like a mushroomy. It's just a gross smell, the old school ones. Everybody's been there. Okay. I can do you. Speaking of gross smells.
Okay.
We can't talk about this without perms. We have to talk about perms.
Oh, yes.
Is it too obvious, guys? I'm sorry, but like I did it. And then it was the body wave, which they're like, oh, it's gentler than the perm. Don't you know I came out of the Bensalem, Pennsylvania hair salon with the body wave, which basically was like, you are a labradoodle. You're welcome.
What was the difference between the body wave and the perm?
They told me that the solution was not as strong. The rods were the same size, so I'm led to believe that the solution's not as strong, so I'll just be getting a softer version since the rods are still teeny tiny. That's some BS. I had tight curls. I feel like my mom might have in the background said to them, like, I don't want to come back, you know, to pay again in a couple. So make it real tight, and then it'll, like, sort of fall out. She's laughing right now. She's like, I didn't do that. Anyway, I can't even describe what I look like. My hair didn't grow down. It just grew out from like fifth to sixth grade. It was amazing. Right when you were going to like bat mitzvahs, kissing yeah. boys for the first time.
Did everyone have a perm in your friend group? Like what, yeah, but what everybody was the
else,
impetus?
But everybody else didn't have headgear and a full set of braces.
Wait, you had headgear?
Oh, yes. So it was a good look. It was a great look.
Wait, like around the ears?
Daytime headgear? Yes. I never wore it during the day because I like got too embarrassed because I had poodle hair. So yeah.
Jen, we yeah. want to see a photo.
Special, special times.
Oh,
I'll put a photo on the blog.
Yes, yes.
I also liked brooches a lot at that time, so there was always like a puzzle pin going on.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, good look. What's another?
Okay.
What's a more adult regret?
Okay, a more adult regret. I'm gonna take it to the late '90s, 2000s
mm-hmm.
brows, and this came up a lot in the Facebook group. My brows, I always thought, here's the funny thing. I always thought that I was taking incredible care of my brows. Danielle, if you're listening, I know we became friends in college because she would see me in the morning in the dorm bathroom at like before we had an 8:10 women's studies class.
What were you thinking getting an 8:10 in the morning class?
We were freshmen and that was the last like, you know, like you get stuck with the crappy classes.
Yeah.
8:10 women's studies. She would see me at like 7:20, 7:30. Like expertly tweezing my brows in the every morning in the girls' bathroom.
Do we see any irony that you were going to women's studies and tweezing your brows?
Why is that ironic? Like, why can't you take care of your brows and go
be
to women's studies?
Yeah. All right, you're right.
Come on, Jen. We just did this whole thing.
Okay, get with it.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm getting my brows in shape every single morning, and she's like, "This girl and her brows. Like, what was this like psycho in the bathroom doing this?" I thought my brows were like on point, but I was making them into like the most '90s brows in the world, like little like too wide apart, just like just too much that you're like always surprised. Really, like, I mean, I'm gonna post a photo, but just like not quite
not
right.
angled either, like almost like a rounded rainbow, huh?
I don't know what was going on. They went through many shapes throughout high school and college,
yeah.
But I always thought that they were like superior. I was so proud, but I'll tell you one thing though, I never had an errant hair.
Right.
Never.
But like I pluck my own brows. Back then I would be plucking, you're right, every day, every other day.
Oh my
now
God.
Now it's like once every 2 weeks I'd pluck my brows.
Oh really? I'm still every day.
Oh.
Every
see,
morning.
I feel like my eyesight's going, so I don't really see this spare, so it's fine anyway. College was good times for beauty regrets in my world as well.
Okay, well what did you do?
Well, there was the, you know, there was the incident where I went to the ER because of my waxing.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Let's
so
not relive that.
My regret is not getting laser hair removal sooner. Let's do some math, people, shall we? If you spend money on waxing every month, I don't know, $50, let's do the math of how long that lasts. When you finally make the switch to laser hair removal and you spend, what, $500 to get whatever you want removed, you're already, like, in debt. I feel like just do it now. You know you're going to do it eventually, and you'll save yourself money.
But that only works for certain hair types.
It's very true.
So, like,
if you've been thinking about doing laser hair removal and you haven't yet, I strongly recommend it. My father is even getting laser hair removal right now. He's getting his ears done. Oh, he's very excited about it. He goes in Philadelphia, and he texts me afterwards every time to let me know how his tufts are coming along.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, my regret is not having done it sooner. So if you're thinking about it, honestly, it's worth the investment.
But go check it out and see if you're a candidate.
If your hair will work for it.
Because it does not work for everyone.
Sure.
The next two... I'm going to do a twofer. I'm going to stick two together because they're related.
Okay, I only have two more, so go ahead.
Okay. They're both hair related. I tried to look like two different icons, and both went terribly awry. Remember when No Doubt first hit the scene?
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed with Gwen Stefani and her bangs.
I thought, oh my God, you had baby bangs?
I thought, I've got to get these, like... They weren't like baby bangs. Like it was like when Just a Girl came out and she had that kind of like Betty Page, like
rockabilly bangs.
Like rockabilly bangs.
So Chola Girl bangs. What age are we talking?
I was now it's gonna be very clear. Well, you know what? I'm gonna embrace my age.
Yeah.
I was 14, 15.
How did they work out? What happened?
I went to the hairstylist. This wasn't like, I wasn't going to Danilo. I was like, I showed a picture of Gwen Stefani. Maybe I brought a couple of inspo images. And I was like, this is me. This is my spirit animal. Like, fuck you. You know, just a girl. Okay. They gave me just straight across bangs. And then my friend Jana called me. She didn't get it. She called me Tracy Bonham. Not for any of you guys who know who Tracy Bonham is.
Who's that?
She was another like singer songwriter around that same time, but she was like folksy and like not fashionable. Tracy Bonham, if somehow this gets back to you, no disrespect, it just wasn't the look that I was going for.
I'm so sorry.
I was going for like a cool like rockabilly punk thing,
and you ended up
with just like sad girl bangs, like Sharon Trisky in My So-Called Life, like really bad.
I'm sorry.
I had to really stop. I learned how to style it out.
Maybe they were hiding your bad brows. There was an upside.
Maybe. But I was like doing like I had to balance like a lot of lipstick, like a curling iron. It was like a whole like look. Then the next year. This is hilarious. There's a very big lesson here, guys. I was like, okay, I saw this choppy bob on the cover of Spin magazine. It was Shirley Manson on the cover of Spin magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it to the mall.
Oh, I know the story. Go.
Wait, did I tell the story on Fat Mascara? Guys, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think I did. So you can fast forward if you heard this
What
one.
Happened? What happened?
We go to the mall. My friend Melanie and I hit the scene. We're downstairs. I'll never forget the salon. I remember where it was. I remember the whole thing. It was also, there was nobody in the salon, so that should have been telling. And ooh. I was like, this one. And the guy, like, I didn't know this guy from a hole in the wall. We're like, I'm like, this is the look. He's like, okay. There was no kind of like shared vision. There was nothing.
No, you didn't have it. You didn't talk it out.
No.
Have a back and forth
there
discussion.
There was no like, oh yeah, like this rocks. There was no nothing.
Is this the same guy that gave you the
bangs? No, this is like, now I remember I left the woman who gave me the bangs because she was like a family hairstylist. And I was like, I'm going to the mall. I'm going to my own person. I'm a big girl now.
Look what happened.
He did something.
He did you wrong.
But he turned me away from the mirror the entire time. And I remember Melanie and I just looking at each other. And I remember I didn't see her like with like, you know, approval. I didn't see her like looking excited. And then when he turned me around, I had the trashiest layered, like Trasher McTrasherson haircut that I had to wear baby barrettes and like headbands for like a year.
That's
and a half.
The look you were going for, Shirley Manson.
No, she had a cool like shag. I had like trash mop hair.
I'm so sorry.
I cried. That's the only time I've ever cried over anything beauty related.
Okay, well, right.
Sobbed.
I'm sorry. In the mall?
No, I think I acted like it was cool. And like we were kind of like, yeah, we're going to style it out. We're going to put like a little Aveda like brilliance, like you know, like the one
that little
cool,
blue jar ain't yeah. fixing a big
we were
mess
like yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just about, we just got to like pomade it out. We're going to make it PC.
He little. Knew it was bad. He had you, your back turned to the mirror.
It was like, we still, like my family, like we still like laugh about it. We have like different nicknames for it. Wait, do you have anything recent?
Do I have anything? Yes. Okay, my last one. I was on my way to a very important meeting with a high up person at Hearst
okay.
with my coworker in tow. I look in the mirror. You know, the Hearst mirrors are yeah. like in the elevators. And I go,
they're floor length. They're full.
I see
mirrors.
One of those chin pimples that's like beneath the surface, definitely not ready to pop. I put my fingers on either side of it with her in the elevator with me.
Sick.
And I go, tell me not to do this. Tell me not to do this right now as I'm squeezing it and trying to get it to the surface. She's like, stop doing it. I was like, I can't stop doing it. And it came and it was like, it was like Krakatoa. It was so disgusting.
In the Hearst elevator?
I squirted pus on the Hearst elevator
that
mirror.
That is so disgusting,
I know. And then, of course, it was red for like 2 weeks, and I never take my own advice, which is don't pick your pimple.
Also, the security men are watching those elevators.
Uh-oh.
There were so many great regrets. Beauty regrets, rather. We didn't get that deep on the Fat Mascara Raising a Wand site. And I have to say thank you guys for being so open, so humorous with your answers. I had asked you guys to share what you felt were your biggest beauty regrets. And there were a lot of repeats, but the language was hilarious. Molly Alana said that she used a Groupon to get her eyebrows waxed and ended up with sperm brows, which is one of like the funniest things I've ever heard. Shout out Jared Blandino. We also had another brow moment, Molly Gardner calling them Pamela Anderson eyebrows. I think we used that same exact kind of verbiage in the Jared Blandino episode. Other things like haircuts. Somebody shouted out the lemon tree, which I haven't heard in so long. I thought that was so funny. And another thing I really loved was Amy Chan saying that, she goes, I don't know if this counts. It absolutely does count, Amy Chan. But she goes, dieting and trying to lose weight. So much wasted time, energy, and money to be the exact same size that I am now. I think we can all do like a collective mm-hmm. Melissa Maladroit said, as problematic as she is, Lena Dunham has a great line on about this on Girls. A guy asks her if she, whether or not she thought about losing weight, and she goes, I tried for a bit, then I realized I had shit to do. I love that. There are so many, I mean, you guys need your own podcast, but one of my favorite things was Natalie Nelson. She kind of flipped this on her head, and I'm raising a big fat wand to Natalie's biggest regret. She said she regrets what she hasn't done. She wanted to dye her hair teal or purple. She's always wanted to dye her hair teal or purple or both, but she didn't when she was younger. And now she works at Corporate America, capital C, capital A, where she's client facing. I guess I will be one of those little old ladies with purple hair. A lot of likes for that one. I completely get that. I think it's like the old saying, youth is wasted on the young. So, Natalie, we hear you. Guys, thank you so much for chiming in on this.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
So we are here, or rather, I am here because this is a very rare solo chat. I have the dear pleasure of being with Shireen Von Wolfen and Frederick Fakai, the co-founders of Bastide, and you may have heard of Frederick before, of the eponymous hair care line and also hair guru, hair legend. I don't really think I need to expound on this any further. So, Frederick, you know, a lot of people know, first of all, can I call you Frederick? I know that it's probably Frederick. Like Frederick. I'm like Frederick. Frederick.
Frederick is fine.
Frederick. Most people, I'm going to take a guess and say all of our listeners know you for being, you know, a hair legend, hair icon. But you've decided to move away from this. Can you just kind of give us some color? What can you say here?
Yes. Well, first of all, you know, let me just say that we are so, having so much fun launching this line, Bastide, which is about natural product, 100% non-toxic from Provence. And I'm not going away from hair. We'll get to that soon. I mean, I'm actually thinking very much about hair care and, we'll come back to have a great hair care line very soon. But today,
very soon?
Very Wait, soon.
That sounds threatening.
That's yeah.
That, is there some kind of clause?
No, there is a clause. Exactly. There's a clause. There's a clause. But it's also something that it's so nice in life to take a break from something and reinvent yourself. And this is a fabulous journey where, you know, we're doing beauty and well-being. And it's also amazing that it's actually from my hometown. And Shireen and I, you know, when we bought our house about 10 years ago in Provence, we started to really observe that there was a beauty that reflected on people because of a way of life. And because of being aware of ingredients that they would ingest, apply to their skin.
But can I back up a little
yes.
bit? Tell us when, because a lot of people, they see Fakai in stores. You know, I saw Fakai in a store today. Mm-hmm. They still think that, I hate to break this to you, but they still think that you're mixing up the product or you're still behind the chair maybe at the Fakai salon. So can you just give us a bit of a primer?
Right.
What happened there? Like yes. When did you move away from the world of hair care in the most conventional sense?
Right. So I sold the company about 2008.
Okay.
That's a
that
while
was
ago.
Big news.
But I stayed on until last month. Involved in the company.
Last month?
Yes, until December 2017.
What was your last task?
My last task was basically it was not an operational task. It's mostly about, strategy, ideas, but obviously much less involved that I used to be in the past.
Yeah.
And not involved right now, today. But, you know, you never know. I always want to go back to hair because I love that. I don't miss it. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, I miss it so much, sorry. Let's say that. I miss it so much. And I actually go to the salon quite often.
You do?
Yeah, to do friends and families and, you know, and others that want to have a haircut with me. And I even get sometimes, you know, photos on people texting me, emailing me, what do I do? What should I do?
So they're still asking you for hair advice?
Yeah, hair advice. So
do you tell them I don't do that anymore?
You know what? Actually, I do give them advice because I love to. Mm-hmm. And I'll direct them to a great stylist, a great colorist at Fekai.
Really quickly, I just think this is so fascinating that you might go back to the Fekai salons to do. I know, listen, this is not an invitation to all of our listeners to call and say no. Frederic said, you know, he's still up for, you know, the job. But will people see you in the salon? Or are you in a special room doing this on the QT?
No. I mean, you're open salon stations, and I'm just there doing the hair, chatting with everyone. And no, it's not a secret. It's not a,
okay.
You know, I never actually functioned that way.
Mm-hmm.
I always was in the middle of the salons and cutting hair, styling people, and not only showing to the staff, but also making sure that the customer knew that I was here.
So you're still invested in the world of hair in your salons, but you're not a day-to-day, you're not invested in that way.
No.
Okay.
Not today. You know, okay. Not today.
So you exited the business. You still love hair, but now you have a new project called Bestied.
Right.
So how did this thinking about this line come about? Like, at what point did you have this moment that, A, you decided you wanted to do something else? Because you didn't need to do anything else. Like, if I can just be frank, you didn't have to. So why did you want to do this?
That's actually a very good question. As you mentioned, this is my second rodeo. I love this expression in U.S. But it's a little bit because also of Shirin, my wife here. Mm-hmm. You know, when, you know, let me just say that first at Fekai years ago, I wanted to do a beauty and well-being line from Provence.
Oh, wow. Even before, this is an old idea.
Yeah, it's an old idea. Actually, Michelle and I worked on this. We had actually a whole business plan, a whole project going.
And Michelle, just for our listeners, because they can't see Michelle.
Michelle is Michelle Lin, who works with us at Bastide and runs the whole marketing. And we had so much fun at Fekai that she came along here.
That's
with Bastide.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, we worked, and then we realized that, you know, this was a great void.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, you know, the good news is that the technology has changed and enable us mm-hmm. to really create fantastic non-toxic product. And I want to say non-toxic as opposed to natural, to make sure that the customer know the difference. It's when you say non-toxic, you really are specific.
Yeah, what does that mean to you? Or what does that mean by Bastide's definitions?
Yes. So but the Bastide definition means that, first of all, when you say natural today, because natural is not regulated.
Sure.
So today you can have one or two ingredients natural in your bottle, and you can call your line natural,
mm-hmm.
which is not right.
Right.
So to be more clear
mm-hmm.
and transparent, we list our blacklist ingredients on our website, on our blog,
right.
everywhere, and we are really showing transparency or what the product is made from and how it's made, and so this is much more clear. This is much more less confusing.
So when you said there is a gap in the marketplace, you know, there are so many French inspired brands out there, There are also a lot of brands right now that are trying to have their own version of the natural conversation. Right. What was that specific void that you are filling?
So without naming any brand.
Name them.
Brands are, you know, that you're right, there's some brands from France, from Provence, and all this, but they've been created a long time ago.
Yes.
So it's very difficult for them to make a 180 degree turn to reformulate their product.
Do you think they want to, or do you think it's just not in their ethos?
I think it's both. I think it's both. But today we are lucky to start from scratch.
Yeah.
And really have a blind canvas in front of us, and using what is the most amazing new formulation on new product. And you know, today you can do amazing product safe without having to worry about putting preservative here and there.
So
it's wonderful that we can create not only bath and body product, but skincare now. We're about to do skincare soon.
Oh, that's cool.
But, you know,
skincare for the face, like complexion?
Exactly. Yes, that's we're coming out amazing. With three SKU, three product that are, you know, eye cream, moisturizing day cream, and a serum. So, and all with the same philosophy, great ingredient from Provence, non-toxic, and very, with a big efficacy.
So tell me about how you, Shireen, how did you guys start working on this together? So I love the fact that this is, it's not just, you know, okay, France, ingredients, non-toxic. There's a bit more heart to this line than, I won't name the other brands, but I'm sure people have different, well, there's so many. There's so many French-inspired brands right now, but they don't really have this, like, this real beautiful family story at the center. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I think for us, Bastide really started so organically because we started spending a lot more time in Aix-en-Provence, which is Frederick's hometown. And then we restored an old Bastide, which is an old farmhouse, country house, just outside of Aix-en-Provence.
Oh, is that what that means?
That's what that means. It's a home.
I just realized it when you put it in the sentence. Okay.
Yeah, it's a home. So that's really, and for us, it was the inspiration is really that happiness that you have in a home. You know, you have kids laughing. You have you smell the cooking. You know the wind, the smells of Provence. So it's very much a home for us. And the idea was really that when we were spending our summers there, we would spend three and a half to four months when the kids were small. And you realize that when you're eating only from your garden, and we don't have a fancy vegetable garden, it's super simple, but you're just eating from the garden or you're eating from the markets, you feel so much better. And so we realized and started doing a lot of research, just Provence is an amazing place because you have ingredients that you can't find anywhere else, and the plant life is so rich. So we said, why can't we make product that we put on our skin that's as good as what we're eating? And so it really, you know, the story of restoring this old house kind of inspired us to then say, what do we want in our home that is as good as the food that we're eating? And so it feels really personal. I mean, there are so many stories, like our daughter would write, she was just learning, she goes to French school, so she's learning cursive, and she would write all of her labels for us in the beginning, and, you know, just when we were testing product, and that's another thing, it's always meant to be a family product, and that's how healthy we wanted it to be, so.
So why is it important that the brand is from Provence?
So first of all, it's so interesting because, you know, when you are in France and you live, you know, happily and relaxed, so when you eat, you go to the market. And when you go to the market, you don't go to the supermarket. You go to the right butcher, the right cheesemaker, the right, you know, grocer, the right baker. So we thought it was very important to do the same thing with Bastide and our product. So we went, Shireen and I, to look at wonderful artisans. So, for instance, the lady that does our liquid soap is a wonderful lady that used to be the head of R&D for a big multinational company and decided to stop and go back to the south of France where she's from and open this little company where she does saponification, which is the old fashioned way of doing soap.
Right,
which
is real old timey.
Exactly. The Romans made
the big, Yeah, the big pot, you know, with olive oil, coconut oil, and chunk of soap. So it's very natural. It's very, you know, authentic. It's real. So the same thing from the candle here that you see. Right? So the glass
smells
is it's a hand blown glass, you know, it's made in Biot, which is, you know, in the south of France, the capital of this kind of glass making. And so we went to look at all the artisans, Danielle, who does our liquid solid soap, you know, Guillaume does the candle. and we go on and on like that, you know, and it's so much fun to just go and we invite them to our house. We go to their house. So
you know everyone.
We know
and
everyone.
That's the great thing. I mean, Frederick is really, that's his backyard, and he's been doing product for so long, so he really knows what he wants, and he knows who's doing it.
It's
best
very
way.
Intimate. It's not this kind of like, we'll outsource this here. And blah, 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 blah.
No, so
that's
even,
right.
Even our nose, Mathieu, is a great friend, and he's somebody. So when we talk about fragrances, you know, it's a real family conversation. Yeah. It's a fun way to work.
And this is important for us, you know, it's to make sure that you know. I mean, I have friends who have huge facilities and could do how. The whole line for us, and it would be, I'm sure, less painful for us, less costly, and all this. I mean, I shouldn't say that to but it's not because I'm naive and I want to make it costly. It's because I think at the end we get a better product, a better idea, and also we love the fact that we can be very agile.
Yeah.
We can be flexible and artistic. But so working with the artisan is amazing. It's to see the things, the product made, you know, with our quantities in front of you like this and by people that cares, you know. And so it's a fun project.
I've heard you use this phrase when talking about Bastide, slow beauty. What does that mean?
Slow beauty is really about kind of owning your moment, owning your life and saying like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take time. I'm going to take time for me. I'm going to take time to eat well. And I think at Bastide, we're not about trying to impose some kind of a, you know, structure on. Life should be fun. It should be easy. You know, we want things to smell good and taste good and, you know, be exciting, be sexy, be fun. Like, it's not about... it's not about any of those things, but slow beauty is just about taking time. It's about
that's kind of like when you're saying like Provence is kind of like everything is kind of slowing down a little bit. Like, I don't remember. Well, I don't have a vegetable garden. I live in an apartment in, like, you know, almost practically midtown. But like, there's no.
You can order from Whole Foods.
That's true. But that's like, yeah, that's a treat. You know, or if I get something from like the corner, like the guy, why can't I even, like, the fruit stand man? You know, like that feels like somewhat special. It's not Provence. But yes, it's like. Anything that doesn't come out of a package feels kind of special.
Slow.
Yeah,
yes,
like anything. I mean, I just find throughout the week, like, I don't feel like I don't even really like sit down. If I sit down, it's like I'm not breathing because I'm typing. Like, everything is really fast, at least in New York. I'm sure we all have our own versions of it.
Right.
So I can't, like, what you're talking about feels so idyllic. And honestly, it feels so just. You know, I don't mean foreign literally. I mean just so removed. Is this kind of like a fantasy? Like, you can kind of buy into that lifestyle?
Well,
or are you trying to have a bigger conversation about
I
life?
I think I think Frederick should also answer this because he's really, you know, he has a very good way of explaining it. But I think for me, it means that it doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life and everything's going to be, you know, it's not this idyllic thing. It's just kind of bringing little moments of peace into your own life. And so one thing that I really noticed, I mean, I grew up in the States. So for me, seeing people sit down for lunch, even if it's only for 10 minutes, but actually sitting down and talking with someone.
I did that today.
And
check. Yes. We said,
everything.
My coworker and I, we said, should we bring it back to the office? We're working on a project, or should we sit here? She's like, we should sit here. And I'm thinking, I really shouldn't.
We should.
Like a little, like, devil, like, you know, like, and then I was like, okay. you know what, she's right. And it just makes a difference. It
makes your whole day better.
And I think it made it so much better.
And that is what slow living is about. It's not about saying, and I think anyone in any city, you know, part of our idea is also to bring that to people with Bastide, is to say, put on a candle, take a minute, you know, make sure you eat it, you're, you know, sitting down, talk to someone, you know, reach out. Like, it's just about having those moments. And Frederick, go ahead, say what you
have. So the slow beauty, to get back to tag on, it's pretty much the philosophy that I had all along with Fekai as well, in a sense of it's embracing your beauty. It's not about, transforming yourself for the sake of transforming. It's accepting who you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, learning about who you are. And, you know, it's about using the right product at the right time, but also to not be a dreamer. You're not going to try to all of a sudden expect big changes right away, because if you need to do that, you have to go to a cosmetic surgeon. But
I think you're going to say therapist.
Well, therapist as well. Yeah. But at least that's healthier. But you know, to me, it's about the slow beauty is about doing a whole regimen about, like the French way, you know, the what we call the soin, the treatment. So it's about, you know, having a routine every day, and with product that are doing the right job for you, whether it's hydrating your skin or working on your black circles or what. But you know, it's not about eliminating your wrinkle. It's not about anti-aging. To us. For us, I don't want to hear that word anti-aging ever again. Mm-hmm. I want to really use age gracefully, age beautifully. But yet, you know, you can have amazing treatment, but you have to apply a way of life. What does it mean? Knowing to eat properly, to drink properly, to sleep well, to take time to enjoy things, to not have strict diet, but, you know, to have even little things that you would like to avoid moderately, a glass of wine, a glass of rosé. You can have your cappuccino. You can have it with almond or coconut milk if you want. But, you know, you can have your cappuccino. You can have all of this, but you need to do it where there's a within reason. So I think the slow beauty is about accepting who you are and really having a great entretien, a great routine, a great maintenance every day that you enjoy. Because part of beauty is being happy. If you're not happy, you cannot be beautiful.
I think that's a very important thing. Yeah. That's very well said. Do you think that the beauty industry is moving toward... I mean, when I heard slow beauty, when you said that, Shireen, I was like, oh, that's so genius. We're going to see that everywhere. But I do wonder, I think kind of the beauty industry, there's almost like two different avenues you can go down right now, just speaking very generally. I see a lot of like kind of fast fixes, a lot of perfection, make everything tighter, higher, brighter, you know, crazier. And then I also see, to your point, Frederick, when you said you hate anti-aging. Well, you know, Allure, and I'm not just tipping my hat to, you know, where I'm also working, but Allure has done a great job with helping eradicate that kind of messaging. They want to ban the words anti-aging.
Exactly.
Do you think that we're moving toward that way, or do you think we're still...
I think
at a crossroads.
I think, first of all, the word anti-aging is so passé and so 80s. And it's, to me, it's like, no matter what, next year we will have a birthday. So don't tell me we're not aging. And what's the shame about aging? It's actually a beauty. It's fantastic. You just acquire another year of a great experience, a great life. And so embrace that, enjoy, celebrate, but live well and be happy. When you're happier, you actually get younger.
That's the secret.
So true.
I want to shift gears for a second. You also, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, beauty. Well, actually, this is quite similar. A lot of the kind of advice that you're giving, I read it a lot in little articles about, like, French women's secrets to beauty and, you know, what the French know that American women don't. We get a little eye-rolly about it because I feel like there's one every week and, you know, somebody writes a book about this that, spawns an article. Is it true, though? Like, is there really a philosophical difference between, you know, French beauty and American beauty?
So here's a quick anecdote. When I first came to the U.S. in New York,
yeah,
you know...
When was that?
That was in 19... Now you're making me old.
Oh, come on. Now you have to really put your money where your mouth is.
1983.
Okay.
And I have to say, I was really flabbergasted to see at 9 o'clock in the morning when mm-hmm. I first opened, you know, the salon doors, women all dressed up, all made up. The makeup, the hair, the nails, everything. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they were all dressed like they were going to a gala. So
what street were you on? Were you uptown?
Yes, okay, of course. We're talking Upper East Side, okay. Of course. This is Madison and 65th Street, and you know, and this was a shock to me. It was fantastic to see that. But the Frenchman, you know, she'll come, she had her hair greasy, and, you know, the nails is not done, and, you know, but, you know, I mean, and the Jane Birkin look, you know what I mean? And and Jane Birkin is not French, you know, she's English,
she instigated
that look. But what I mean by that is that it's also a little bit of a nonchalant, a little bit of laissez-faire, you know, relaxing a little bit, let your shoulder down and not trying to dress up really quick in the morning to look amazing. Just look happy and again, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of your hair undone, you know, maybe a little bit of a gloss in your things, you know, right. a tiny bit of blush, whatever. But nothing to make, a beauty so well-groomed and so well-done. It's almost like when you go to the Hamptons and you see, you know, all the amazing landscaping, also perfectly groomed and all this. And, you know, as supposed to be a little bit more, okay, carefree and mm-hmm. natural, a little bit wild, a little bit mm-hmm. sauvage. So there is, the French beauty is about a little bit of a sauvage, a little bit of bohemian. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you are like this. Look at you, the way you are. You know,
I thought it was quite groomed. No. I guess my groomed is sauvage.
Sauvage, but so beautiful, so elegant. That's great.
Well, you know, my nails are tragic right now, and that's why they're under the table. I said I knew Shireen and Frederic were coming, and I didn't have time, and I really hope they don't take a peek at my nails. But now I know that you endorse this.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
No, the funniest thing about French beauty, I think, too, is that it actually takes just as long as it does to get
that natural
look. So it's so funny. Like, most French girls will say, I don't do anything, or, you know, but to get that I don't do anything look takes just as long, and it's, you know, it's just studied. It's kind of like messing up the hair, and there's a really I was talking to a French girlfriend of mine, and she was saying, you know, it's so typical. You ask like a French girl what lipstick she's wearing, and she's like, oh, you know, it's a crayon of my son that I found in my bag. I don't even know what color it is, but really, it's like, you know, they never want to share,
so,
and they don't want to tell their secrets, because that's just kind of the French way. So they never. You know, French women also will never tell you what jacket they're... You know, women in America are always sharing the information and saying...
Like how much it was, what corner, which Zara, which one,
yes,
like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a French girl will be like, oh, you know, it's my mother's from from forever ago. So it's just, I think that's a really cute and very real...
But to your point is that in France, for instance, you know, we cannot generalize, obviously, but you know, the girl that Shireen is talking about, you know,
the crayon girl.
Yeah, she'll be proud to say that she find that thing that is unique for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not about trends are not really accepted very well. Mm-hmm. It's not about wearing a logo and trying to be matching the the people. So it's about being a little bit unique, a little bit having a point of difference. Yeah. That's what it is. Rebellious a little bit. Yes.
That is very admirable. So we'll let them have
the French women.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So what is the nicest thing about working together as a duo? My fiance works in beauty, and I always threaten him that we're going to do a line together, and he finds this graceful way to change the topic quickly. He says something about a non-compete, and then the topic's over.
Well,
how do you do it?
I'm going to start. You know, I think it's I was very, and Shirin too, we were very apprehensive about working together. We never done that. You know, and we're already at home together. We have raising kids. We are raising kids. We live, you know, in the city, in the weekend, in the country. So it was a bit difficult. But yeah. Then, you know, we realized that we could do this because, you know, we have different skills. Mm-hmm. You know, different point of view. I love the fact that, you know, Shirin has embraced the Provence so well. When she's mm-hmm. there, you know, she actually makes me discover things that I don't ever see because, you know, I assume that I know it. And so it's great to see from her eyes the beauty of Provence and the beauty in general. So that is fascinating. And also the fact that, you know, Shirin has a long career of communication, strategy, branding. So she comes with great new ideas. And you know, and it's also, it's a woman brand. It's mm-hmm. a brand that caters to ladies, women, and girls, you know. So having her point of view is wonderful.
And I think the other thing that's really important is to learn, or that was important for me to learn, was to just not be emotional and to also understand that it's okay to fight about things or disagree. And mm-hmm. as long as you're always thinking about the product, as long as you're not, you know, your ego isn't stuck in this whole thing. So I think for me, it's been an incredible experience. I think mainly because we're such a fun team, and then also seeing him do this. It's Provence, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
It is important to also, even as a, you know, as a partner or as associate or whatever, it's important to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the minute you know you have that rule, it's relaxing everybody because it's applying to everyone. Agree to disagree, and you know, and then you know you can challenge yourself. You can think. The main focus we always argue and talk about this. The main focus is what does it do? What is the goal of whatever we're debating? What is the, you know, the end goal?
Like to have your eye on the prize, so to speak. I'm just trying to think because I'm sure there are people that are listening that maybe are in business with their family members or close friends or you know something where it's. It's emotional. So is the takeaway kind of to take your emotions out of it, or just are you saying just to kind of know what you're trying to achieve and then kind of take your ego out of it?
Exactly. I mean, first of all, and I'm saying this really with humility here, you know, I learn with age. First of all, I have to say I'm the oldest in the company by far. You know? So this is important. But I learn one thing is to make sure that it's not important who owns the idea, as long as the idea is moving along. So
that's great advice.
It's, you know, it's very important.
No matter
because
where you work,
the ego is like, oh my God, that's my idea. You know, this is I originated that. I own that. If you do that, you're no longer the team player. You're no longer the. First of all, you're not a team leader. You're taking the credit away, which is so annoying. You want to go, you know, you want to go, you know, miles. You want to run miles with people. You don't want to just cut the grass under their feet. You know what I mean? You want to make sure that you know they really run and love and enjoy and embody the company and the people they work with.
Yeah, that's great advice.
It's really good advice because I think that when an idea is only as good as it. as the result. I mean, you can have a great idea, and if you never get it done, it's a terrible idea. And I think that's another thing that's amazing about Frederic is he doesn't quit till it's done, till you get there. So,
It's about that big picture, not like kind of scorekeeping, like, it's a win for me. Like, how are you guys doing over there?
You know, it's exactly right. It's like, why are we winning a battle as opposed to the war? You know, I mean, it's as simple as that, you know.
And I will say one more thing about working together, too, and working on this is that it's the first time in my life that I actually feel like I have balance in the sense that, you know, even though it's a startup and we're working really hard, I still feel like the way we think about life is that you're living it now and that you're doing the best you can right now and you're respectful of the people you work with and they're respectful of you. So I feel like I'm so much happier and so much more balanced now than I ever was working.
Maybe that's something about entrepreneurship, something to think about.
Yeah, I didn't expect it.
It's great. Well, I have to ask you before you guys go. I mean, you're both, product experts. You know, you're studying the market, and Frederic, you've probably tested every hair product known to man. Am I right? What is actually in your home? I would love to take a peek at your bathroom cabinets.
Oh, yeah. No, I have ton of stuff. So, obviously, I still use Fekai shampoo and conditioner.
Do they send it to you?
Yes.
Do you have monthly shipments? Like, how does it get to your house? Do you put an order? Does an assistant,
Yes, we put an order. But also, when we visit the salons, once in a while, we get supply.
Okay,
Yeah, we have no
replenishment.
No shortage of Fekai supply. All good there.
So what do you love from Fekai?
I love, I have the Shea Butter mask. No, sorry, it's the PRX. It's the PRX mask. And then I use the full body shampoo. I kind of mix between the full body and the, what is the hair brightening? What's the?
The glossing.
Not the glossing, the pink
technician.
One. Technician. So I switch between the technician and the glossing shampoo. And I always use the PRX conditioner. Mm-hmm. And it's actually like the leave-in one, but I just put it in quickly and rinse it out.
Okay.
I still use the glossing serum. So usually when I have wet hair, I'll put in a little bit of a GHD, that GHD spray. And I the Fekai Beach Wave spray. And then a tiny bit of glossing. And I let it dry naturally. And then I'll do a little GHD wave into it, with the GHD wand.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I do for hair.
Which GHD spray? There's a few of them.
It's the heat.
Like a heat protective spray?
Heat protective spray, yeah. And even when the hair is already dry, you can just spray it back in and add a few more curls to kind of,
Who does your color? It's absolutely gorgeous.
Well, at Fekai. So Rayad at Fekai on 5th. On 56th and, 5th. He's
excellent.
Amazing, yeah.
And makeup?
So what do I do for makeup? I'm pretty I really love when you don't have so much on your skin. I'm a big believer in skin having to breathe. I also have super sensitive skin. So I usually, I use a lot of Tom Ford lately, so I use always eyeliner. And he has that double-sided, it's like a calligraphy eye.
Like a liquid.
Eyeliner that's amazing. And then I use some of his under eye as a little, what do you call it? It's like a little sponge applicator thing that you can just kind of go over your dark circles. And what do I use? I use Sisley for my lips. And I'm always switching between serums. So right now we're testing our serum, so I'm super excited about that. And it's what I love about, we really want a serum that's going to be that's great and nurturing and adding plumpness and kind of a glow, but at the same time giving you a little color when you put it on. So that's
nice.
What I've been using.
Can't wait to try that.
Yeah.
So I'm full of little lab sample around my house. That's what I do. I try all the product. And for instance, I discovered, just like by playing, that for shaving, I would use the body dry oil in the skin first and shave after. It's amazing. The razor glide through it.
Okay.
And you ask your fiancé, you'll see. It's so much fun. And you don't have to wash it after. scratching your skin.
Excellent. And what about hair for you? I mean, I want to know what you actually use.
I'm, of course, using the Fekai hair. And, you know, I love, you know, the Shea Butter line for me because it's a moisturizing and it has no paraben and all this. It's great. And it doesn't weight my hair down, so which is great. So I do that. And as Shirin does, it's also a very important, I always suggest to everybody to do the same thing, is to not use the same shampoo all the time. Is to alternate. So, for instance, if you have a hair colored, so you use a shampoo for hair color, and then you use a shampoo either to shine it, a glossy shampoo, or a shampoo that gives you a little bit more volume, whatever you prefer. But you alternate, so the pH of the shampoo and the hair is different.
Oh, it does work.
It does work.
Okay.
It helps you. It's absolutely amazing. Otherwise, you get your hair too hydrated, too flat, or, you know, or lacking shine, lusters. So it's important to have the right shampoo alternating every other day.
I always thought that was a myth. Now I know. Okay. Yeah. And I have to ask you both, finally, fragrance. You have the most gorgeous candle, which we're burning right now, the Amber Soir. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. It's stunning. You do fragrances really well. I have to assume you're wearing your own fragrances, right?
Yes.
So which one's your favorite?
Fig Amour. It's our newest. Okay. We just launched it for Valentine's Day.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's, it was inspired by a fig tree that's right behind our house in Provence. And it's so it has like a bit of sweetness, but also that kind of woody cedar, sandalwood. So it's a really nice, very warm fragrance. I love it.
Nice.
And I love to, in the winter, I wear Ambre Maquis,
okay,
which is a fantastic warm and spicy,
and
woody,
yeah, so they're
woody fragrance. And in the summer, I love Neroli. Neroli, it's a
beautiful
orange blossom. It's very light. It's very happy again. You know, it's important to have a happy scent.
Yeah.
Okay. I love all this happy scents, happy tips. You can tell how much fun you guys are having, and yeah, it's about ultimately being happy. Right?
Thank you.
Okay,
yeah, it is and happy.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
It's time to raise a wand, Jim. What you got?
So many things.
What do you have?
No, I have. Have you seen Maleo oils?
No, what is that?
It's a new brand that is supposed to be both a fragrance oil and a skincare oil, which freaks me out at first because essential oils can be very active.
This is lovely.
You don't want to put them on your face. But I am obsessed with this stuff. So this is the one for redness, and it has oud in it, but very, very low.
It doesn't smell like oud at all.
Right? Very low levels. I've been wearing it like a fragrance almost. Isn't that beautiful?
This is oud? It says
what does it say on the bottle?
Elixir oud. It doesn't smell like oud at all.
There's four varieties of them. They're all facial oils and also fragranced. To be perfectly honest, as a facial oil, like I'll just pat it on my cheeks. But really, it's like a fragrance for me. It's so, how would you describe this? It's like, it's not oudy. It's bright and green and vetivery, but with like a fruity, woody undertone. Isn't it delightful?
It's bright and green, a little woody.
There you go.
It's beautiful.
So they make four different varieties. I just think it's kind of cool that they're mixing face oils and fragrance oils together. So I'm just sort of putting it on my necks and my cheeks. I wouldn't put it near my eyes, but I'm wearing it more like a fragrance, and it's just so springy and good.
It's lovely.
Yeah, Maleo.
I'm raising a wand to such an old school product that I'm so happy to rediscover. Borghese mud mask.
Ooh, that was like the fancy back in the day. Fango, they called it.
Yes. So Borghese was one of the first fancy products, fancy like beauty brands I had an encounter with. I remember going there and getting a mini makeover, and I got two products as like a treat. And I just remember it was Princess Marcella Borghese was like the full name of the brand at the time. And it was, to me, just this very exotic Italian kind of like, it's Borghese, you know?
Darling, it's Borghese.
Exactly. Now, at the time, I didn't get the skincare. I had like makeup from the brand. But to me, it always seemed very like European cool. Well, the brand has relaunched. Maria Carla is their face. It's a lot of their products are repackaged, and I've been experimenting with some. The thing that's my favorite of all like the new products and jazzy things they have is the mud mask. That's the original mud mask.
Don't mess with the classic.
It's so good. I put it on my face the other day, left it on for like a little too long, took it off. By the way, it looks so scary when you put it on because it's like that classic like olive green mud mask. Took it off. Pores refined, skin tighter, face firmed. There's so many new Razzle Dazzle masks out there that like you're like, oh, I guess my skin looks softer and I took a cool selfie. This is like, this makes a difference, kids.
This shit's this legit.
This is like the Mama Luga mud mask. This is why masks were invented, because this guy came on the scene and made a difference. Just go back to the original. This works. Raise a wand. Borghese. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.